طيب، بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 31st session, level 3 fiqh, or Arabic lessons in fiqh from level 3 Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today we're going to take the last subject from the book of Salat. This is the last subject from the book of Salat under the title of Salatul Musafir. So in the past two sessions we talked about combining and shortening prayers, and the subject for today is going to be As-Salat ala Rahila. As-Salat ala Rahila, yani praying upon a riding animal or a vehicle. And if you received the reminder for the class, then one of the secondary sources that we're going to use, and we're going to be reading from the book, page 51 in the book. It's a very brief presentation. So we're going to also look at some secondary references as we usually do. Al-Mulakhis al-Fiqhi of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, pages 158 and 159. And by the way, this book is translated into English. The Sheikh Salih Fawzan's book is translated into English. So I happened to check and I found the pages in English for the section that we're going to read from there today is page 237 and 238. And it's a whole section, one topic under that section is dealing with the topic that we're going to be talking about today. So we're also going to read from that. And there's also a couple of points or a brief note from Ikhtiyarat of Sheikh Al-Albani, page 17, point number 57. There are also other secondary references. Those are the ones that I had looked at early on, so I just send it to the class in case anybody wants to preview what we're going to be doing today, so you have an opportunity to do that in advance. Before we look at the topic for today, last week, the topic that we talked about last week was Al-Jam' Bain As-Salatain, combining between two prayers. And the summary of what we talked about last week is that it is permissible to combine between two prayers. And the prayers that is permissible to combine between are Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha. And that these prayers can be joined in two ways. Either Jam Taqdeem or Jam Ta'khir. Okay, so that means that you can join them in the earlier time of the first one or in the latter time of the second one. Meaning that you can join Dhuhr and Asr in the time of Dhuhr, even before the time of Asr came in. You can pray Asr along with Dhuhr before the time of Asr comes in. Or you can delay both of them until the time of Asr and pray them both in the time of Asr. Meaning, after the time for Dhuhr has passed and the time for Asr entered, you can delay it until then and combine it with Asr. And the same thing with Maghrib and Isha. You can pray them in the early time of Maghrib together, or you can pray them in the later time of Isha together. We also said concerning the combining of prayers that, what else? That the prayers, that is preferable that the prayers should be combined. Yani? Well, first about the traveling person, okay? Any prayers can be combined when you're traveling. They may also be combined for weather, and they may also be combined for haja, for need. So unlike the shortening of prayers, which is exclusive to traveling, the combining of prayers, a person may combine if they're traveling or if they're resident, yani due to inclement weather or due to some pressing need, also is permissible. Any other point that we mentioned last week?
We mentioned a point in the statement of last week that Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Umar, when the leaders combined the prayer, he combined the prayer.
Naam. So that, yani, this is something that if the people who are in charge, the people who are in authority, if they combine the prayers, then it's lawful, it's legislated to combine with them. Which means that those who have the authority to decide to combine the prayers are the people in authority. Meaning, in other words, the people can't come to the masjid and tell the imam, combine the prayers. We don't feel like coming back again. No, it's up to the imam to decide. If he combines, you can join with him. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You can go home and come back for the next prayer, or if the weather is bad or something, then it's permissible to pray at home. Now.
This is what you just said. In the other day, some masjid went back to pray, but the imam didn't make the decision to combine. So somebody from behind comes, the weather is severe. He's discussing with the imam, so he should combine. The imam laughs and makes a joke, and so okay, let's combine. And he makes a joke and combines.
No, I mean, it's not that. It doesn't mean that nobody can suggest to the imam to combine the prayers. Somebody may tell him. Maybe he's in the masjid, he doesn't know what the weather is outside. Somebody might come and tell him, imam, I don't know if you know, but it's storming outside right now. Or it's snowing outside. Or it's, you know, the temperature has dropped. It's 10 below zero. Maybe the imam doesn't know. Maybe the imam lives inside the building. In some of the masjids, the imam has residence in the masjid. Meaning, and he has an apartment, not in the musalla, but he has a separate area. So maybe he didn't go outside. He doesn't know what the weather is. It's no harm for somebody to inform him. But I'm saying to command him. And some people argue with the imam, you should combine. What are you doing? We need to combine. The imam said, we're not going to combine. That's the end of the discussion. There's no argument. No. But let's not get sidetracked too much with this. This is last week's topic. Yeah, that's what I wanted, the points that we made last week.
It'd be like a stationing, like in a station.
If somebody's on a journey and they stop over somewhere.
Yeah, he may combine, but it's better not to combine.
He may combine, but it's better not to combine. If you're going to be staying in that place until the time of the next prayer for so many hours or for the whole day, then it's better to pray the prayers in their time. Though, if there's a need, you may combine. Now, this is very important. Now. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
He was traveling towards the time of, he was still a resident in the time of Ruth came in. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would pray Ruth, then travel.
Now.
And if it's not time of Ruth, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would travel, start traveling. And when the time of Ruth came in, he would combine the prayer.
Now, so this is also important. Before departing from the town or the city, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he intended to travel and the time for Dhuha had come, then he will pray Dhuha and then he will go on the journey. He's not a traveler yet. So he'll pray Dhuha and then he'll go on the journey. If the time for Dhuha didn't come yet and he wants to start his journey, then he'll just leave. And he'll travel until he'll stop in the time for Asr and combine them in the time of Asr, and the same thing yani for Maghrib and Isha. But if he's already on a journey, then if he stops over someplace and it came time for Dhuha, he will combine Dhuha and Asr together. Before getting back on the road.
As you were saying, when you stop over, right?
Yeah, it's better to perform the prayers in their times, unless there's a need. Yeah. Person has a need, you're entitled to do it. Now, even if you're traveling or not traveling. If there's a need, some need, meaning that not the need is not that, you know, my favorite television program is coming on at 8 o'clock and I want to just combine these prayers so I don't be interrupted. Need means like necessity, pressing situation, a person doesn't have control over, and they won't be able to pray the prayer and it's time. So then it's possible to combine
it. But he still has the license to shorten it though, right?
A traveler.
Yeah, once he steps in another town, he still can shorten it if there's no imam leading the slot. In other words, if you don't have to follow the imam.
Yeah, if a person follows the imam, they should pray with the imam.
Right.
And if they're praying alone as a traveler, then they can shorten the prayers.
Right. But not combine, just do it in the town.
Yani, it's not that it's not permissible to combine them, it's that if a person is going to stop over somewhere for a period of time, for some hours, and they're going to be there in the time of the next prayer, and there's no hardship in them praying with the jama'ah, then the original rule is that prayers are made at fixed times. We should perform them in their time.
No.
Combining the prayers and shortening the prayers are two separate issues, they have different rules. For both, may resident or non-resident. Now, but shortening the prayers for the traveler. Okay, that's what we talked about last week. Yani, just briefly, some of what we talked about last week. And tonight, today, this evening, inshallah, we're going to read from page 51. Topic is very brief. Thalithan, as-salatu ala rahilati. Thalithan, why are we saying thalithan here? Why does it say thalithan? Naam. Because this is the third topic under the prayer of the traveler. The first topic we talked about was al-qasr, shortening. And thaniyan, second topic we talked about was al-jam. And thalithan, as-salat ala rahila. Salat ala rahila. Al-rahilatu imma an takuna safinatan aw ta'iratan aw sayyaratan aw qitaran aw nahwa dhalika. Wa imma an takuna dabatan min farasin aw baghlin aw himarin wa nahwa dhalika. So when we say the prayer upon the rahila, what do we mean by rahila? It is either, it will be a ship, or a plane, or a car, or a train, or whatever is similar to that. Or, that's one type of rahila. The other type of rahila, imma an takuna dabatan, or it will be an animal, like a horse, or a mule, or a donkey, or what is similar to that. So the rahila is of two types. The rahila is of two types. The ship, that is made by man, or the animal that is created by Allah. Okay? The ship, we're comparing that to today, in this time, it wasn't in that time, a plane, a car, a train, none of that existed. But there did exist a ship, right? And if it's not that type of vehicle, then it is an animal, like a horse, or a mule, or a donkey, or any kind of riding animal. Okay, this is what we mean by a rahila. As-salat ala rahila. A person is traveling by some means of transportation and came time for salat. So what are the rules concerning this? In brief, فَأَمَّا السَّفِينَ. As far as as-safina, and this has been mentioned in the sunnah, as-safina. As far as as-safina, وَنَحُهَا فَيَجِبُ الْقِيَامُ فِيهَا فِي الْفَرِيضَةِ مَا الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And as far as the ship and whatever is like it, it is obligatory to stand in the prayer if it is the obligatory prayers, as long as the person has the ability to do so. So the prayer in the ship and whatever is like it is mandatory that if it's an obligatory prayer, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, you have to stand in it. Mal Qudra, if you have the ability to stand. Person doesn't have the ability to stand, excuse, whether they're on a ship, or whether they're in the masjid, or they're at home, or whatever. Person has the ability, you have to stand in the obligatory prayers. This ruling of the obligation of standing, even on a ship, is based on the hadith of Ibn Umar. يعني لي حديثي Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. May Allah be pleased with both of them. قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف أصلي في السفينة. He said, Abd ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, he said, I asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how do I pray in a ship? And they had ships in that time, right?
No.
They had ships. How do I pray in a ship? قال صلي قائما إلا أن تخاف الغرق. He said, I command you to pray standing in the ship, except if you fear al-gharaqa, drowning, except that you fear drowning, that maybe you will fall off the ship and drown. رواه الدارقطني والحاكم وقال الصحيح على شرط الشيخين. This hadith is reported by الدارقطني and Al-Hakim, and he said it is authentic, sahih, according to the conditions of the two sheikhs. Who said that? Ad-Darqutni or Al-Hakim?
Al-Hakim.
How do you know? Because he said, yani, huh? Because he's the last person mentioned. Al-Hakim. وَقَالَ يعني قَالَ الْحَاكَمْ صَحِيْ عَلَى شَرْطِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. يعني what does this expression mean? صَحِيْ عَلَى شَرْطِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. What do we mean by this? This is a very common expression.
According to the condition of
Mutafakun alayh.
Okay,
almost, but not quite. Okay, one at a time. Nasir. Okay, whatever conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. Not that Bukhari and Muslim agree that it's sahih, but the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Hakim said it's sahih according to the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Shaykhain, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahullah. Okay? Concerning this hadith, before we go to the second part, and the second type of animals, I want to mention here a safina. In the Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya of Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, on page 17, point number 57, it says, Su'ila an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala salat fi safina. Ya'ani, this narration is a narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, annahu su'ila sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala salat fi safina, faqala, صلي فيها قائما إلا أن تخاف الغرقا. This is what we mentioned already from the textbook. Yani Ibn Umar mentions that the Prophet ﷺ was asked about praying in the boat, ship, and he said, pray in it standing, except unless you fear drowning. Rawahu al-Bazzar, he mentions here, Shaykh al-Bani mentions, point here, mentioned by al-Bazzar, and al-Darqutni, wa inda Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi fi sunan, wa sahahahu al-Hakim wa wafaqahu al-Dhahabi. What's extra mentioned here from what we already read from our book? What was mentioned here extra?
Al-Hakim said it is authentic and al-Dhahabi agrees.
And al-Dhahabi wafaqahu al-Dhahabi. And this is also something of significance. It's not absolute. But the point is that Al-Hakim in his book, which is Al-Mustadrak ala Sahihain, Al-Hakim, sometimes he brought hadith that he is saying that Bukhari and Muslim missed, but it's in accordance with their conditions. But sometimes it's not so. So sometimes we have to check. Just because Hakim said ala Sharat al-Shaykhain doesn't mean that it's absolute. But what gives him support here is وَافَقَهُ الذَّهَبِي. Somebody agree with him. Who's الذَّهَبِي? One of the great scholars of hadith. One of the greatest scholars of hadith. Especially one of the great scholars of الرِّجَال. الجَحْ وَالتَّعْدِيلِ الذَّهَبِي, Imam الذَّهَبِي. So الذَّهَبِي agreed with him. That's not absolute either, but in any case, and it's a little bit stronger here, Al-Hakim said that it's sahih, الذَّهَبِي agreed with him. Shaykh al-Albani says, this is a fa'ida, when he mentioned this hadith, of narrators of hadith, of the narrators of hadith. Al-Rijal means the ruwat, the narrators of hadith. Yani people who knew the condition of the narrators, who is strong, who is weak, who is acceptable, who is rejected, and so on. Who Rajul, Rijal. Yani Rijal means the men who narrated hadith. And their biographies, and their histories, and their teachers, and their students, and their grades, in terms of how we grade them. This one is thiqa, this one is da'if, and so on. Thabt, Imam, Mutqin, whatever. Grades of hadith. He was a specialist in this. Al-Dhahabi. Qal al-Albani, wa hukm as-salat, wa hukmu as-salat fi al-ta'ira, كَالصَّلَاةِ فِي السَّفِينَةِ. Shaykh al-Bani said, after mentioning this hadith about praying in the safina, ship, he said, and the ruling concerning salah in a plane, airplane, that didn't exist then, is like the salah in the safina. Shaykh al-Bani said, same ruling. أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ قَائِمًا إِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ. Yani, what's the same between them? That just like in the ship, if you pray in a ship, you have to stand. Likewise, if you pray in an airplane, you have to do what? Stand. You have to stand. In istata'a. Huh? If you have the ability to do it. Wa illa salla jalisan ima'an bi ruku'in wa sujudin. This is a very important, beautiful point. Yani, the same ruling for the ship is the same ruling for the plane, that you must pray standing if you are able. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا أَن تَخَافَ الْغَرَقِ. Unless you fear you're going to drown. Then you're not able to stand. Okay, then you can sit. Or whatever, right? So Shaykh is saying, plain the same ruling. If you're able, that is, yani, if you're able to stand, then you must stand. Otherwise, then you may pray sitting. Motioning, huh? No, it's not. People pray. I've prayed in hundreds of airplanes. Nothing to it. It's normal. It's just regular. The plane, actually standing in an airplane to pray is easier than praying on a ship. So the ship might be awakened. The plane is not doing all that. You on a plane, khalas, nothing's happening. Unless you get into some bad turbulence or something. But under normal circumstances, praying on a plane is just like praying in the masjid. No difference. Exactly the same. Except that you might not find a space. That may be difficult, okay? You don't even know, unless you're looking out the window, seeing the clouds below you. Anyway, the Shaykh, he said, the ruling is the same. If you're able to stand, you must stand. If you're not, you may pray sitting. Ima'an bi ruku wa sujood. Meaning?
Signaling,
gesturing. Yani nodding your head, for example. Bowing or bending for ruku and for sujood, for bowing and prostration. This is mentioned in Sifat al-Salat. Here it says page 79. In my old edition of Sifat al-Salat, it's on page 59. So different printings, maybe the pages might be different. Okay, after that, I want to also add here a further benefit. This comment in the Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyah of Shaykh al-Albani comes from Aslu Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? The original Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one that we have is about 200 pages. The original one might be 500 or 600 pages. The original Sifat al-Salat.
Two is
500. Huh?
The original is
how? It's more than twice or three times as big. Yeah. So, it's more than...
The new one, we don't have...
But we want to just get the benefit of what he said in the Asl. Okay? Because here, they give a small quote, and then there's some further points of benefit. Wa alaykum salam wa salam. Shaykh said, Su'ila sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عن الصلاة في السفينة. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about prayer in the boat, in the ship. فقال صلي فيها قائما إلا أن تخاف الغرق. Pray standing unless you fear that you're going to drown. This narration, he says here in the Asl صفة الصلاة, أخرجه الدارقطني والحاكم عن أبي نعيم الفضل ابن دكين حدثنا جعفر ابن برقان عن ميمون ابن محران عن ابن عمر به. And here there's a note that in Sifat al-Salat, the Shaykh also mentioned that this hadith was also collected by Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi fi Sunan. So here he mentions al-Darqutni and al-Hakim, and there he mentioned also Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. Shaykh al-Albani now mentions قال الحاكم صحيح على الشرط مسلم. Shaykh al-Albani in Asl Sifat al-Salat, he said قال الحاكم صحيح على الشرط مسلم. That's a little bit different. Then he says وكذا قال الذهبي. And likewise الذهبي said the same. وهو كما قال. And it is like the two of them said. It is as they said. Yani Hakim said this. Al-Dhahabi agreed. Shaykh al-Bani also is agreeing with them. وأخرجه الدارقطني وكذا البزار من طريق رجل من أهل الكوفة من ثقيف عن جعفر ابن برقان عن ميمون محران عن ابن عمر عن جعفر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمره أن يصلي في السفينة قائما إلا أن يخشى الغرق. Yani, different narration, right? That the Prophet ﷺ commanded him to pray in the ship standing. Same meaning. But he commanded him to pray standing unless he fears drowning. And then he says, this narration, وَفِيهِ رَجُلْ الَّذِي لَمْ يُسَمْ. And in this narration is a man who hasn't been, his name hasn't been given. وَبَقِيَةُ الرِّجَالِهِ ثِقَاتِ. And the rest of the rijal, ruwat, Rijal, this is where the Rijal came from. Well, Baqiyat al-Rijal, the rest of the narrators are trustworthy, thiqat, trustworthy, reliable narrators. Any meaning that? except for the person who's not mentioned, the rest of the narrators are trustworthy. وَإِسْنَادُهُ مُتَّصَلْ. And the chain is connected, it's complete, there's no missing links. And this is very important, right? That for hadith to be sahih, there are five conditions. From amongst them is that the narrators who are mentioned have to be reliable, acceptable narrators. And second, that the chain has to be complete. Because if it's not complete, if any link is missing, we don't know who it is, we don't know if he's reliable or not. Okay, so he's saying here, the rijal or thiqat, and the isnad is connected, it's complete. كَمَا قَالَ الْحَيْثَمِي. And he mentions Haythami said so, and then he says, قَالَ الشَّوْكَانِي. Who's the Shawkani? The author of Nail al-Altar. Now, yeah, he's a great scholar of hadith and tafsir from Al-Yemen, Al-Shawkani, Imam al-Shawkani. He says, Shawkani says, this is what he mentions here, like the benefit that we didn't get in the brief quote. He said, فِيهِ أَنَّ الْوَاجِبْ عَلَى مَنْ يُصَلِّ فِي السَّفِينَ الْقِيَامِ. Meaning? فِيهِ, يعني in this narration, there's the indication that الْوَاجِبْ عَلَى مَنْ يُصَلِّ فِي السَّفِينَ الْقِيَامِ. That standing is obligatory on the person who prays in a ship. وَلَا يَجُوز الْقُعُود إِلَّا عِنْدَ خَشْيَةِ الْغَرَقِ. And it's not permissible to sit in the prayer on the ship except that a person fears drowning. وَيُعِدْ ذَلِكَ الْحَدِيثَ الْمُتَقَدِّمَ الدَّعْلَ عَلَى وُجُوبِ الْقِيَامِ فِي مُطْلَقْ صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيدَةِ. And what supports this are other hadith which have been previously mentioned, which point to the obligation of standing in the obligatory prayer in general. مُطْلَقْ صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيدَةِ. يعني the general ruling for the obligatory prayers that you have to stand. فَلَا يَصَارُ إِلَى جَوَازِ الْقُعُودِ فِي السَّفِينَةِ وَلَا غَيْرِهَا إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٍ خَاسٍ. And nobody can reach or come to the conclusion of the permissibility of sitting in the prayer in the ship or in other than that, except with بِدَلِيلٍ خَاسٍ, unless there's a specific dalil that takes this general ruling out of its generality. Otherwise, the rule is praying in a ship or other than that, you have to pray standing, except there's a specific dalil that, yani, that limits that generality and specializes or makes it more specific. وَقَدَّمْنَا مَا دَلِيلَ عَلَى التَّرْخِيصِ فِي صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيدَ عَلَى رَاحِلَ عِنْدَ الْعُذْرِ. وَقَدَّمْنَا مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى التَّرْخِيصِ فِي صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيدَ عَلَى رَاحِلَ عِنْدَ الْعُذْرِ. And we have already mentioned that which points to the tarkhis, the what?
Permission,
the rukhsa, for the obligatory prayer on the rahila and al udhr. Yani for the one who has an excuse, an udhr. Yani the permission of praying on the riding animal, the obligatory prayer, is the next hadith that we're going to mention, that the second hadith that the book mentions. We didn't read that yet, but he already mentioned it previous to this. That hadith is a proof that if a person has an udhr, then they may pray the obligatory prayer on the rahila. Otherwise, yani, you have to pray standing. وَرُخْصَ لَا يُقَاسْ عَلَيْهَا وَرُخَصْ لَا يُقَاسْ عَلَيْهَا وَلَيْسَ رَاكِبْ السَّفِينَةِ كَرَاكِبْ الدَّابَةِ لِتَمَكُّنِهِ مِنَ الْإِسْتِقْبَالِ. This is a qaida here that may be a little bit yani involved, but in any case, in simple form, الرخص لا يقاس عليها. If there's a rukhsa, Allah gives us a rukhsa for something, that we have a permission, a facility, a ease, لا يقاس عليها. You can't use that rukhsa and make qiyas to other things. The rukhsa is special for the thing that it was given for. You can't make qiyas on a rukhsa. So this is an important rule. الرخص لا يقاس عليها. وليس راكب السفينة كراكب الدابة. So we already said that there is some rukhsa for the person who's on a riding animal. The hadith, the second hadith that we didn't mention yet. We're going to mention it. There's a permission for the person on a riding animal. If they have a udhr, and specifically the udhr was that it was raining and the ground was muddy, and the Prophet ﷺ prayed on the riding animal. So he's saying that this rukhas, we can't make qiyas and then say you could do it in other things, other than that situation. Because the one who's on a riding animal is not like the one who's on a ship. They're not the same. Why? The one who's on the ship can face the Qibla, and the one who's on a riding animal can't. So they're not the same. Then he said, وَيُقَاسْ عَلَى مخافة الغرق المذكورة في الحديث ما سواها من الأعذار. But you can make qiyas upon the issue of fearing drowning that's mentioned in this hadith about unless you fear drowning, you can make qiyas on that for whatever is like it. ما سواها من الأعذار. يعني other type of other excuse that's like it. You can say if a person, يعني they fear drowning, then they don't have to pray standing. So if a person fears not drowning, but they fear a wild animal getting them, for example. If I get down off this vehicle, the wild animal is going to eat me up. So I can't get down. So he's saying you can make qiyas on the fear that a person, if they have fear, then they may be excused from it. So that's what he ended with. This quotation from Imam Shawkani, Sheikh Al-Albani is quoting it. Now, you fear that you're going to fall down, bang your head, or hurt yourself or something? That's possible. That's possible. I mean, the general thing that he's saying here, the benefit of what he's saying here is what? That there's qiyas. It does exist. Not qiyas in the rukhsa, but in the thing that's the illah, why something is permissible or prohibited, you can make qiyas on that. And the illah here, why the person is allowed to not pray standing on a ship, the illah is because he fears that he may drown. So if a person fears that they're going to get hurt or die, the fear from something else is like the fear of drowning. Yani, if it's equal to it, he said, ma sawaha, what's equal to it, similar, almost the same as it, then you can make qiyas on that. Then Shaykh al-Bani says, وَقَالَ أَبُو دَاوُدْ فِي مَسَائِلِهِ. Yani, the masail of Abu Dawood, yani, is Sijistani. The one who have the book Sunan Abu Dawood. He has a book, Masail of Imam Ahmed. The questions that he asked, that Imam Abu Dawood asked Imam Ahmed. Huh? He wrote it down. He collected those issues. Okay? But the point that I want to point to here is that Imam Abu Dawood is a great scholar of hadith. He's asking questions to Imam Ahmed. And then he got a book of what he asked Imam Ahmed. Imam Abu Dawud says in Masailihi, سَمِعْتُ أَحْمَدْ رَحِيمُهَ اللَّهِ سُئِلَ عَنْ رَجُلٌ صَلَّ فِي السَّفِينَ قَائِدًا. I heard Imam Ahmed, may Allah have mercy upon him, being asked about a man praying in a ship, sitting. Praying in a ship, sitting. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you fear drowning, you can pray sitting, right? قَالَ Imam Ahmed, إِنْ كَانَ يَخْدِرْ أَنْ يُصَلِّ قَائِمًا أحب إلي أن يعيد. If that person is able to pray standing, then it's more beloved to him that he repeats that prayer, that he prays sitting, that he make it over again. And Imam Ahmed said, أحب إلي أن يعيد. وقال أبو داود سمعت أحمد سئل عن صلاة في السفينة قال قائما إن استطاع. And he said in another place, I heard Imam Ahmed being asked about praying in a ship. He said he should pray standing if he is able. And similar to that is found in the Masail of Ibnuhu, and if the Masail Ibnihi Abdullah, walakinahu lam yadhkur al-iyada. The Imam Ahmed was asked about a person praying in a ship qa'idan, sitting down. And Imam Ahmed said, if he is able to pray standing, but instead he prayed sitting, while he was able to pray standing, he said, it's more beloved to me that he repeat the prayer, pray it all over again. Because who gave him permission to pray sitting while he's able to stand? So he needs to make it over again. Well, he's saying it's more beloved to me because he's saying that, yani, there might be some room here for some discussion. But for me, I'm not forcing you. So he's saying, I'm not like taking a stand like, your prayer is invalid. But it would be better, I think, that you repeat the prayer. That's what he means by habbu ilayya. Otherwise, he could say, yes, the prayer is invalid. But he's not saying that. That's the point. He said, I'm not saying the prayer is invalid, but to me, it would be better that you do that prayer over again. The same thing was recorded in the Masail of his son, Abdullah. One of his sons was one of his great students. And he said also in his Masail, from his father, he said the same thing, except he didn't mention repeating the prayer in the Masail of Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmed. Then Shaykh al-Albani said, we close with this, wal hadith qala al-Bayhaqi hadith hasan. Yani the hadith of the Safina, al-Bayhaqi said that it's hasan, wa qarrahu al-Iraqi. And the great scholar of hadith al-Iraqi agreed with al-Bayhaqi that the hadith is hasan, kama fi Fayd al-Qadiyya. Anybody know the book Fayd al-Qadiyya? Fayd al-Qadiyya is the book by Imam al-Manawi. He was an Indian scholar of hadith from India. And his book is yani the explanation of Al-Jami al-Saghir. Naam. Fayd al-Qadiyya, the explanation of Al-Jami al-Saghir by Imam al-Manawi. He was an Indian scholar, a great scholar of hadith. Very important book that is really tremendous treasure. If somebody get that book, you have a treasure. The hadith are in it and the explanations. Fayd al-Qadiyya. Then Shaykh, he ends this in the Asl of Sifat al-Salat with the quote that we already read. Yani, the ruling concerning the prayer in the plane is like the prayer in the ship. Yani, that you pray standing if you're able, and otherwise you may pray sitting, just signaling, yani, or making the motions of ruku and sujood. And as a further benefit, in Ma'rifat al-Sunan wal-Athar of Imam al-Bayhaqi, معرفه السنن والاثار امام البيهقي امام البيهقي has a lot of books of hadith. This is one of them, معرفه السنن والاثار. In that book he narrates from Abdullah ibn Umar from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم انه سئل عن الصلاه في السفينه فقال صلي فيها قائما الا ان تخاف الغرق. يعني امام البيهقي also narrated this hadith in معرفه السنن. And then he mentions واما الذي روي عن انس ابن سيرين. Who's انس ابن سيرين?
The brother of
Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, Imam of the one of the Imams of the Tabi'in. His brother Anas ibn Sirin, he says, "Walladhi ruya an," I mean, it has been narrated from Anas ibn Sirin, "Annahu qala sallayna ma Anas ibn Malik, ma Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu fi al-safina, yaumuna fiha qu'udan." Yani Anas ibn Sirin said that we prayed with Anas ibn Malik, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, in a ship, and he led us in prayer sitting. فَيُحْتَمَلُ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَخَافُونَ الْغَرَقْ أَوْ دَوَرَانْ رَأْسْ وَالسُّقُوتْ. Yani, so what is understood from this then? Al-Bayhaqi says that it's possible that the reason why they prayed sitting was because they feared drowning, as came in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or that their heads would be spinning, yani with dizziness, and that they would fall down. Yani because what? On a ship, right? Maybe the waves are shaking, person might get dizzy. On a ship, people get dizzy. If you get dizzy in the prayer and you're standing, you may fall down. And likewise, similarly has been narrated from Al-Thawri, Sufyan Al-Thawri, from Hussein, from Mujahid, rahimahullah, أنه قال كنا نصلي فيها قعودا, that we used to pray in the ships sitting, and obviously, yani due to the fear of drowning or falling, and so on. Second hadith, back to our book on page 51. Yeah, that's the first hadith.
Just want to quickly come up with that, because it's your second lecture of Rijal. I have another question. So my question, the Rijal, is it the narrator or the collector of the hadith?
Narrators. Yani generally, when you say ilmul Rijal, you mean this is the science of the narrators of hadith, the people who are in the chains of narration. Okay? Yeah, so what are the other three conditions for hadith sahih? Yani the narrators have to be thiqa, and the chain has to be complete, and they also, the narrators have to be, yani they have to be dhabd and adl. Yani they have to be accurate in narrating, and they have to be trustworthy. Yani in their adala, yani their integrity, their uprightness, righteousness. So the narrators have to be accurate in narrating, and they have to be upright people. And the chain has to be complete. And there's, those are three, and the other two are two things that, no, good memory is accuracy. The other two are not in reference to the narrators specifically, but it's two things that have to be absent. These are three things that have to be present. Two things that have to be absent is there has to be no like hidden defects. Yani, defects that are not obvious.
The wording of the hadith.
No, hidden defects. Yani, the hidden defect could be in the chain of narration, more likely. But hidden defects. Yani, defects that are not obvious. And they have to be the absence of shuzud. It shouldn't be shadh. Yani, hadith is shadh, means that yani, it appears on the surface to be authentic, but it contradicts an authentic hadith that's more authentic than it. You have to be no shadh, no shudhud, and also no hidden defects. So those are five. Okay, thank you, Ya Abdul Halim. this have to be studied in detail, though. I mean, this is like passing, brief passing. We have to do a class on that. That's right. We do, really. That's very important. Because at least, if we're talking about sahih hadith, we have to know, like, what makes a hadith sahih? And you claim it's sahih based on what? We have to know what is, what makes a hadith sahih? What's the difference between hadith and sahih and hasan? Yani, hasan hadith like sahih, except the narrators are not as accurate in narrating. Yani, the accuracy in narrating is lesser level, and so on, like this. Okay, that's the first hadith. The second part of As-Salat ala Rahila, that's the ship, the boat, the plane. All of what we said is in reference to that. Now we're going to talk about animal. The person is actually riding an animal. فَأَمَّا دَابَتُ
Can we also add a train?
Train, boat, plane, taxi, whatever. Naam.
No, I'm talking about Safina.
Safina. We're saying that in general, that there's two types of rahila. One is the ship that's mentioned in the sunnah. And the other one is a riding animal that's also mentioned in the sunnah. So everything else that's similar to them comes under those categories. But they're not the same. Okay, that's the ship and planes and stuff. Now we're talking about riding animals different. Okay, that's why I wanted to do them separately. This one hadith, now we're talking about a separate part of rahila. Okay, because in the beginning we said the rahila is imma, yani safina, ta'ira, sayara, qitar, and things are like that. Wa imma, this second case, imma daba, like a faras, a horse, bagal, himar, mule, donkey, and like that. Okay? So, as far as the safina, we finished from that, right? We mentioned the hadith and some discussion concerning it. Wa amma dabatu min farasin wa nahwihi. But as far as the beast of any riding animal, like a horse and whatever is similar to that, فَلَا تَصِحُ السَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِعُذْرٍ كَالْمَطَرْ وَالْوَحَلِ وَنَحْوِهِ. As far as the riding animal, like a horse and whatever is similar to it, it is not correct. It's not valid. لَا تَصِحُ السَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِعُذْرٍ. It's not valid for the prayer, the obligatory prayer. As-salat al-maktuba, yani as-salat al-farida. It's not valid to pray it on a riding animal. Illa li-udhr. Except the person has the udhr. What kind of udhr? Udhr shara'i. A sharia excuse. Except they have a sharia excuse. So that means that the praying on a safina and things like that is proven to be valid. But you have to stand. Unless you fear drowning or something, then you can sit. Praying on a riding animal is not aslan, it's not permissible to pray on a riding animal. Obligatory prayer. Illa li'udhr. Unless you have a shari'i excuse. Okay, so you see the difference between the two, right? One of them, the asl ruling is permissible, but you just have to stand. The other one, the asl ruling, is not permissible to pray the obligatory prayers on a riding animal. So the riding animal is not like the ship. Okay, they are different. So, unless you have an excuse, like rain, or wahal, yani mud, muddy conditions on the ground, wanahwi, and that which is similar to it. Lima rawa Ya'la ibn Umayyah. Due to what has been narrated by Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, or Ya'la ibn Murra. Yani in the book it says Umayyah, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan in his book, we're going to read from it, he narrated the hadith from Ya'la ibn Murra. And Ya'la ibn Umayyah is a companion, radiallahu anhu. And Ya'la ibn Murra is also a companion, radiallahu anhu. So it doesn't matter. If it's Murra or Umayyah, both of them are Sahaba, it's good, right? It's good. But some of the books got his name and some of them got his name. And both of them are companions. That's all we want to know, that both of them are companions. It's narrated from him, from Ya'la, radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intaha ila madiqin. هو وأصحابه وهو على راحلته والسماء من فوقهم والبلة والبلة من أسفل منهم فحضرت الصلاة فأمر المؤذن فأذن وأقام الصلاة ثم تقدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى بهم يومئ إماء يجعل السجود أخفض من الركوع رواه أحمد والترمذي وقال العمل عليه عند أهل العلم. يعني this hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he according to يعلى رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم انتهى إلى مضيق هو وأصحابه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions came to a narrow passage like a mountain pass مضيق هو he and his companions وهو على راحلته while he was riding on his riding animal. وَالسَّمَاءُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَالْبِلَّةُ مِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُمْ While the sky is above them and the mud is below them. يعني the sky is above them meaning here what? That's raining. It's raining. يُمْتِرَ السَّمَاءُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَالْبِلَّةُ مِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُمْ So the rain is coming down on them and the mud, the ground is muddy. فَصَلَّ بِهِمْ يُومِئُ إِمَاءً So he prayed with them, the Prophet led them in prayer. يُومِئُ إِمَاءً Meaning he's just signaling, gesturing through the motions of the prayer. يَجْعَلُ السُّجُودَ أَخْفَضًا But he is making the prostration lower than the ruku. يعني for prostration he's bowing further than he's bowing for ruku. This hadith is reported by Ahmed, Imam Ahmed al-Tirmidhi. وقال العمل عليه عند أهل العلم. Who said this? الترمذي. الترمذي. رواه أحمد والترمذي وقال يعني الترمذي العمل عليه عند أهل العلم. What is the meaning of what الترمذي said here?
That the people of knowledge are acting upon this.
The people of العمل عليه. يعني what the people of the practice of the people of knowledge is in accordance with this hadith. Yani that a person is on a riding animal and the conditions is like this, the rain is coming down, the mud is on the ground, then they may pray on the riding animal, making the motions of ruku and sujood. He said, Al-amal alayhi. Yani that based on this hadith is the practice of the Ahlul Ilm. He didn't say an-nas or al-qawm. He said, Ahlul Ilm. Yani the scholars, this is what they are upon. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, I sent you the reference for it on page 158 of his book. What is the name of his book? Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi. Yani, which means?
A brief summary
of fiqh. A fiqh summary, now.
Volume 1.
I didn't send this to the class? So the PDF that... I didn't send it? Oh, so somebody remind me then. In any case, the PDF file that I have, it's in volume 1, page 230... I'm sorry, it's in volume 1, page 158 and 159. 158 and 159. In any case... Somebody remind me to send it again, then you can go back and look at the reference here. The Shaykh, he talked about in this chapter of the Ahlu al-A'adhar, the people who have excuses, yani who have some kind of condition or situation that allows them to have some permissions that are not, yani for everyone, right? So in that chapter he mentions different topics from amongst them. The second one is Salat al-Rakib, the prayer of the rider. And he says, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَعَذَارِ From amongst the people who have excuse are the rider, al-raqib. إِذَا كَانَ يَتَأَذَّى بنزوله للصلاة على الأرض بوحل أو مطر. يعني that from the people who are excused are the rider. If he would يتأذر, يعني if he would get harm, other from coming down بنزوله على الأرض للصلاة due to the mud or the rain, أو يعجز عن الركوب إذا نزل, or he would be unable to get back on his riding animal if he got down. Person may not can get up and down. Maybe they have some condition. Somebody help them to get on. If they get down, they're not going to be able to get back up. أو يخشى فوات رفقته إذا نزل, or if he fears that his companions, the people that he's traveling with, they will leave him if he gets down to pray. أو يخشى على نفسه إذا نزل من عدو أو سبع, يعني or if he fears for himself, for his life, if he got down from the riding animal, he fears harm from an enemy or a wild beast animal. Okay, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, يعني حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, he's saying that from the people having excuse in the prayer is the rider. If some harm would come to him by getting down due to the mud or the rain or his inability to get back on the animal if he got down, or his fear that his companions would leave him, or he fears that harm would come to him from an enemy or an animal, فَفِي هَذِهِ الْأَحْوَالِ يُصَلِّي عَلَى مَرْقُوبِهِ. Meaning? In these conditions like this, then he's allowed to pray on his marqub. Marqub is what? Ism? مفعول from رقبة. The راقب is the rider and the مرقوب is the thing that is ridden upon. يعني just to go back to our lessons, our Arabic lessons. اسم فاعل, اسم مفعول. In these conditions, the person may pray on their vehicle of conveyance, من دابة وغيرها, whether it's an animal or other than that. ولا ينزل إلى الأرض, and he doesn't have to get down to the ground. لحديث يعلى ابن مرة. Here he said, يعلى ابن مرة رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet ﷺ came to a narrow passageway or pass, mountain pass, he and his companions, and he was on his riding animal, and it was raining above them, and the ground beneath them was wet, and the time for the prayer came, he ordered the Mu'adhin made the Adhan and Iqama, and then the Prophet moved to the front of them on his riding animal, and he led them in prayer, just signaling or gesturing to the positions of prayer, making the prostration lower than the bowing. Reported by Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi. This hadith has a problem though. Yeah, prostration being lower. Meaning that if you are a riding animal and you for bowing, you're going to go like this. And for prostration, you're going to go further. Then where? On your knees, where they normally are. I don't know anything about that. No, gesturing meaning with his body.
Oh, with the body.
Yeah.
Okay.
And meaning that he's gonna make like he's bowing, but he's not standing, he's sitting on the animal, right? So he's given the motion of bowing and the motion of prostrating. Just by making one lower than the other. The prostration lower than the bowing, right? Yani, the same way a person who prays sitting on the floor, right? Person who can't stand and they pray sitting on the floor, then they bow a little bit for ruku, and they bow a little bit further for sujood. Now,
going back to the second part of this lesson, where it says,
mud. Mud. Muddy conditions. Now,
so he's suggesting to the Sahabas, right? So in his movements, he's suggesting to the Sahabas, right?
No, they're following him.
Yeah,
he's bowing and they're following him.
I understand that. The animals, they are riding. He's the other one. He came to a stop.
Yeah, he came to a stop now. Yeah, they're not moving. They're not. Yani praying while they're moving, they stop. That's important. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because there's some discussion about, can you even pray on a riding animal while it's moving? Huh? Well, we finished with cars. Cars and boats and planes go with the first hadith. This is different. This is riding animals. Remember we said in the beginning, the rahila is of two types. There's a ship and there's a animal. So the cars and boats and plane, I mean, all of that comes under the ships. A car, he said, the sheikh, he said, yani, the plane, he mentioned plane, he mentioned car, he mentioned safina is the asl. And then he said, likewise, the ta'ira, the sayyara, and whatever is similar to it. Now,
I asked that question before. Because I see the condition of somebody who's riding a personal car as the same condition as somebody who's riding like a donkey or a...
That is the same?
Yeah, they're in the same condition. It's not like somebody who are in the airplane who there is a pilot and there is some space.
The car can
and
stop.
There is some space. But stop. Somebody who's in a riding car, he cannot stand like...
Okay, in any case, look, we're going to look at it from the general rules, right? So the general rule is that the praying in the ship, you have to stand unless you're not able to. So if you're in a car, you have to stand unless you're not able to. Unless you're not able to means that you can't stop and stand up and pray. Can you stop and stand up and pray? If you can't, then you can pray sitting. But if you can stop and stand up, you have to stop and stand up. Because it's obligatory to stand.
Yeah, I'm talking about the condition.
Unless you fear that if you stop your car, right. You're in down Alabama somewhere, and if you stop in that community, they got, you know, Ku Klux Klan's nooses hanging on the trees. If you stop, maybe they will kill you. So you can't stop. Then if you can't stop, then that you may excuse.
I'm saying, like, the same point like somebody who's in the donkey. He can stop also and pray.
But the rules are different completely. They're not the same. The riding on the animal is different than the vehicle. They're different rules. Okay, that's why we're taking them separately, because it's not the same. They're not equal. Yeah, a person and a donkey can stop and pray. The Prophet ﷺ stopped and prayed, but he prayed on his animal, sitting. Huh? The original rule is that you cannot pray on the riding animal, the obligatory prayer. The original rule for the ship is that you can pray on it, but you have to pray standing. So that means the rule is different. It's a different rule. If they are similar in some case, no problem. But ultimately in the end, right, we're going to go back to the same point. That whether you're on a plane or car or riding animal, if you're able to stop, then you have to stop. The Prophet ﷺ never prayed on a riding animal except the voluntary prayers. When it came time for the obligatory prayer, he stopped and got off it. So if a person, if you want to say a car is like that, then the car has to stop and get off it. But what if you can't stop because there's danger? What if you can't stop and get out the car?
Even if it's raining.
Or whatever it might be that prevents you from stopping, then you may have an excuse. That's what we're saying. Okay, but otherwise, as long as you can stop, you have to stop.
But if you can stop, but the outside conditions don't permit you to pray,
it could be that maybe the outside conditions don't allow you to stop.
No, you can't stop, because if I'm traveling...
Okay, you can stop, but you can't get out the car. Same thing. You can't get out the car because it's 20 degrees below zero, or you can't get out of the car because there are lions running around. It's possible, right? You could be in, what do you call them places? The safari. Okay, whatever I'm saying. Whatever strange condition you're in, the normal rule is you have to pray standing the obligatory prayer. We're just saying, is there some exception, some excuse sometimes? That's what we're saying, okay? And then we do want to separate the riding animal from the safina. It's not the same. That's one hadith, that's clear. This is a different hadith, and it has a different rule. It has a different rule, and plus, this hadith, yani, it has some question about its authenticity. So we said this hadith is reported by Ahmed and At-Tirmidhi. By the way, Tirmidhi said this hadith is da'if. It's not mentioned here in Sheikh Salih Fawzan, but he did mention, At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is da'if, and Al-Bayhaqi also said it's da'if, and Sheikh Al-Albani said that it's da'if. And other scholars said that it's hasan. So, yani, there's some question about this hadith. But let's say that, let's say that it's hasan, so we can benefit from it. inshallah, until proven otherwise. Yajibu, Sheikh Salim Fawzan says, for the sake of time, where's my watch? Because I know we're going to run out of time. How many minutes? Not much time. Let's try to finish this then. Wallahu musta'an. Actually, yeah. Okay. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And I think everybody here knows Sheikh Salih Fawzan, right? But perhaps somebody might hear this discussion and they don't know who Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Sheikh Salih Fawzan is one of the leading scholars of the people of Sunnah living in the world today. Naam. For sure. No question about it. So, and we should listen carefully to what the scholars are saying, especially the major scholars, the big scholars. Not just, he's just a scholar, but he's a major scholar from the great scholars living in the world today and from the people of Sunnah. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says here, Hafidhullah, يَجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ يُصَلِّي الْفَرِيضَ عَلَى مَرْقُوبِهِ لِعُذْرٍ مِمَّا سَبَقَ أَنْ يَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ. Okay? He's saying a person who's praying on their riding animal, praying on their riding animal, the obligatory prayer, if they are allowed to pray on there for some udhr that they have from what has been mentioned previously, it's obligatory upon them to face the qibla, in istata'a, if they're able. They have to face the qibla. Okay? The Prophet, when he's praying voluntary prayers on the riding animal, he used to turn the animal towards the qibla, at least to begin the prayer, and then he would let it go in the direction it was going in. This is not voluntary prayer, it's obligatory prayer. You have to face the qibla. This is based on, in istata'a, based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Meaning, وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ, wherever you may be, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, then turn your faces towards it. Yani in the direction of the Kaaba. This is from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 144th ayat. And then he says, وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ فِعْلَ مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رُكُوٍ وَالسُّجُودِ وَإِمَانٍ بِهِمَا وَتُمَأْنِينَ. And it is also obligatory upon that person to do whatever they are able to do. مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ, from ruku. If they're able to do ruku, they have to do it. From sujood. If they're able to do sujood, they have to do it. وَإِمَانٍ بِهِمَا, and at least they have to gesture, yani the positions of ruku and sujood if they're not able to do them. وَتُمَأْنِينَ, and they must have calmness in the prayer. This is on a riding animal. If they have an excuse to pray on the riding animal, then they have to do whatever they're able to do. So what about the person who's praying sitting in a chair? Do they have to do ruku and sujood if they're able to?
No.
So how about the people who sit in chairs and they don't prostrate? And they're able to prostrate? Huh?
I've seen that.
You've seen it?
Everybody
does it. I've only, in my lifetime, only seen two people pray in chairs prostrating. Two people. I've seen two. One I've seen a lot do it, and one person I saw a few times do it. I know, you know one of them. And the other one is a Yemeni man that came in the masjid near my house a few times, and every time I saw him, he prayed in a chair, he'd get down off the chair and prostrate. Every time. An old man. He prays in a chair and he prostrates. That's the second person I ever see do that. He must know something. When I saw him do it, I was like, SubhanAllah, what is this? Nobody does this. The second proof, he said, that you have to do whatever you're able to do. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. 64th surah of the Quran, 16th ayat. Observe the taqwa of Allah, yani as much as you can, to the best of your ability. Meaning, whatever you're able to do, you have to do it. Otherwise, yani, we fear for the validity of your prayer. وَمَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ لَا يُكَلِّفُ بِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَىٰ إِسْتِقْبَالِ الْقِبْلَةِ. Yani whatever the person is not able to do, then they are not held responsible for that, even if they were not able to face the qibla. لَمْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ إِسْتِقْبَالِهَا. Yani if a person is not able, then even that, they are exempted from it. وَصَلَّى عَلَىٰ حَسَبْ حَالِهِ, and that person should pray in accordance with their condition, but doing everything that they're able to do. وَكَذَلِكَ Raqib al-ta'ira yusalli fiha bihasab istata'atihi min qiyamin aw qu'udin aw ruku'in aw sujudin aw ima'in بهما بحسب استطاعته مع استقبال القبلة لأنه ممكن. يعني the Sheikh closes this section by saying that يعني just like he said about the riding animal, person has to do whatever they're able to do unless they're not able. يعني even the facing of the Qibla, if they're not able, they're excused from that. If they're not able to, he prays according to his condition. And likewise, the one who is riding a passenger in an airplane, he may pray in that airplane in accordance with his ability, making standing, sitting, bowing, prostration, or signaling for these two, the bowing and the prostration, in accordance with his ability, in accordance to his ability. However, ما استقبال القبلة, but he must face the قبلة, لأنه ممكن. Because the person in the airplane is able to face the قبلة. You can't say you're not able to face the قبلة. So, of course, if there was some condition that the person is a prisoner in shackles and chains to a chair and they can't move, then that's different. Okay, so, but the Shaykh is saying here that even on the riding animal, if a person is not able to face the قبلة, they're excused from it. And likewise, the person on an airplane, the same things apply to them, except facing the Qibla, because the person on the airplane is able to face the Qibla. However, if it came, I'm saying this, if it came that the person on the airplane is not able to face the Qibla, maybe they're in shackles and chains, and they can't turn their direction, then they will be excused because, يعني, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. You can get up from your seat.
First of all,
get up from your seat. If you're not chained to the seat, you can get up and change your and face the Qibla. All of this hasab istata'atihi. Everything according to his ability. And like I said, I gave the extreme example so that nobody can argue with what I said. But it doesn't have to be extreme. The extreme example is the person who's shackled and chained to the chair. That's real. Federal prisoners are transferred commonly in airplanes. Federal prisoners in the United States are commonly transferred on airplanes. And they are, yani, they're confined. I mean, they're not walking around freely, right? So, I'm saying it's not unusual that a person could be unable to face the Qibla. That's possible. Or maybe you're not a prisoner, but for whatever reason you can't. Then you excuse. And if that person can't, then I'm saying this. The Sheikh, he said, you have to face the Qibla because the person on the airplane can do that. And I said, but if he couldn't do it for some strange reason, I gave the extreme example, he's also excused. So, naam, he's also excused if you can't. But if you can get up and face the Qibla, you have to do that. If you can get up and stand in the emergency exit, or in the place where they prepare the snacks and stuff, if they allow you to do it, I've done that. I have done that. But that was before 9/11. So I haven't been on a plane since 9/11, except the plane that they don't allow you to get up in. Okay, so you might not be able to, but if you're able to, then you have to do it. If you're not able to, you excuse. If they don't let you, khalas, you excuse. Okay, I have one more point to make here before the time runs out. Okay, remember I said this hadith, there's some difference of opinion about it. So one of the opinions concerning this hadith is mentioned by Sheikh al-Albani in Irwa al-Galil, yani volume 2, page 347, hadith number 561, the hadith of Ya'la ibn Umayyah. He mentioned him as Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the mountain pass and he led the people in prayer on the riding animal because of the rain and the mud, as we already mentioned. And he says in Irwa al-Ghalil, Rawahu Ahmed wa Tirmidhi. And then the Shaykh says, Daifun. And this hadith is daif. Then Shaykh al-Albani says, Rahimahullah, Rawahu Ahmed, and he mentions the place where it's volume and page number, wa Tirmidhi, volume and page number, two places in Ahmed and two places in Tirmidhi, wa Kadha ad-Darqutni, he mentions the number 146, wal Bayhaqi, volume 7, page 2, والخطيب في تاريخه, all these people also narrated, and he mentioned page and volume, من طريق عمرو ابن عثمان. This is what's important here. من طريق, all of them, Ahmed, Tirmidhi, Darqutni, Bayhaqi, Khatib, mentioned min tariq, all of them, different isnads, but all of them came through one person. Meaning they had different sheikhs, but they, all of their isnads go back to one person, same person. So that means, attahad al-asanid. Even though they branched out, but they came together here on Amr ibn Uthman ibn Ya'la an abihi an jaddihi. Amr ibn Uthman. Amr, his father was Uthman, right? And his father was Ya'la. The narrator of the hadith. He said, an abihi an jaddihi. Yan an abi Amr. Who was his father? Uthman. An jaddihi, who was his grandfather? Ya'la. So Amr is narrating from his father Uthman, from his, yani his own, yani his father and his father's father, his grandfather. That's the isnad. Sheikh, the reason why I'm trying to make that clear is because an abihi and jaddihi could be a little bit confusing. But an abihi means an abi Amr, who is Uthman. And an jaddihi is his father's father, is the narrator of the hadith. He said, وَضَعَفَهُ التِّرْمِذِي بِقَوْلِهِ حَدِيثْ غَرِيبٍ. ضَعَفَهُ التِّرْمِذِي بِقَوْلِهِ حَدِيثْ غَرِيبٍ. What is حَدِيثْ غَرِيبٍ? That's the meaning of a word in Arabic language, but what is the meaning of حَدِيثْ غَرِيبٍ? Okay, so Al-Gharib has different meanings. The primary meaning of Gharib, Hadith Gharib, is a Hadith is Fard. It has in some chain, and in some level, one of the tabaqat of the Isnad only has one person. Yani there's not several people in that level who narrate the Hadith. Generally, Hadith Gharib is weak, but not absolutely. But in any case, At-Tirmidhi said it's Gharib. So at some point in the chain, it only came from one person. Yani there wasn't various people who narrated on that level. That's what At-Tirmidhi said. Al-Bayhaqi said, وَفِي إِسْنَادِهِ ضَعَفٌ. Its isnad contains some weakness. وَلَمْ يَثْبُتْ مِنْ عَدَالَةِ بَعْدُ رُوَاتِهِ مَا يُجَبُ قُبُولَ خَبَرِهِ. And there has not been confirmed, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, the adala, the trustworthiness, the integrity of some of its narrators, or one of its narrators. Yani, that which would necessitate accepting qubul khabrihi, accepting what he narrated. Yani, meaning that the adala, we said five conditions, right? Two of them, the narrator has to be accurate in what he narrates, a good memory, and the second one, he has to have integrity. Yani, a righteous person, upright person, pious person. His adala, one or some of the narrators' adala has not been confirmed to the level that necessitates accepting from him what he narrates. That's what Al-Bayhaqi said. Sheikh Al-Albani said, قُلْتُ, I say, يُشِيرُ بِذَلِكَ. Yani Al-Bayhaqi is pointing by this statement to Amr ibn Uthman. وَأَبِهِ and his father. فَإِنَّهُمَا مَجْهُولًا. Both of them are majhool. يعني not the Sahabi, but the son of the Sahabi. And his son's son. Both of them, Sheikh Al-Albani said, are majhoolan. What do we mean by majhoolan? They're unknown. We don't know them. But we know them. Their names are here. Yeah, the son and his father and his father's father, all their names are here. That's right. Something about the fulfilling conditions. Yani majhul, there's two types of majhul primarily. Majhul al-ayn and majhul al-hal. Technically speaking. Majhul al-ayn means that al-ayn, not the I, the specific person, majhul al-ayn, that he specifically is not known further than by one person. Meaning, only one person narrated from him. There's nobody who narrated from this person except one person. So nobody else knows him except him. That's majhul al-ayn. Majhul al-hal means that two or more people narrated from him. So he is known by a number of people. But his integrity, his validity in narrating has not been confirmed by anyone. So even though they are different, majhul al-ayn and majhul al-hal, but they are basically the same. Except that majhul al-ayn, even though only one person narrated him, nobody else knows him. If somebody confirmed his adala, either the person who narrated from him, or another person who's imam in jar wa ta'dil, if they confirmed his adala, said we know him to be trustworthy and accurate, then we will accept from him. But as far as majhul al-hal, nobody has a lot of people narrated from him, at least two or more, but nobody confirmed his adala. So we definitely cannot accept from him, neither one of them, unless somebody confirms their adala. Sheikh al-Bani said both of them are majhul. Not one, two. Either way, there's nobody confirming their adala. He didn't mention if it's majhul al-hal or I only explained the two types of yani jahala, just so that we know that either way, even if it's only one person narrated from him, or more narrated from him, if nobody confirmed his trustworthiness, then we can't accept from him. In any case, that's one side of it, and the other side of it is that there are other scholars who consider the hadith to be hasan. They give it some upgrading for some other way, and I'll just mention a couple of their names, just so that we know that there's a second view. In Aun al-Ma'bud, Aun al-Ma'bud is a very important book of hadith. Who knows this book, Aun al-Ma'bud? Please, somebody. Aun al-Ma'bud by Muhammad Shamsul Haq al-Azim al-Abadi. Aun al-Ma'bud, Sharh Sunan Abi Dawood. It's one of the most important explanations of Abu Dawood. Aun al-Ma'bud, very important book. And there's a long discussion here. He mentions that hadith and other hadith. And then during that discussion, he says that this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ praying on the riding animal in the obligatory prayer is narrated by Ahmed in his Musnad, Ad-Darqutni, At-Tirmidhi, and An-Nasa'i from Ya'la ibn Murra radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ and he prayed on a riding animal with his companions due to the rain and the mud, as we mentioned previously. Then he says, in Aun al-Ma'bud, he says, قَالَ تِرْمِذِي حَدِيثْ غَرِيبْ تَفَرَّضَ بِهِ عُمَرْ إِبْنِ مَيْمُونَ إِبْنِ رَمَّاحْ الْبَلْخِي لَا يُعْرَفْ إِلَّا مِنْ حَدِيثِهِ وَقَدْ رَوَى عَنْهُ غَيْرُ وَاحِدْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Yani, At-Tirmidhi gives us a benefit here concerning this particular hadith. At-Tirmidhi said hadith gharib. Not only he said the hadith gharib, he said tafarrada bi. The one person who narrated it, yani in the chain, in the place where it became gharib, where there's only one person who narrated it, he said it was Umar ibn Maymun ibn Ramah al-Balkhi. La yu'raf illa min hadithi. And this hadith is not known from anyone except from him narrating it. Meaning in the other levels, there are many people maybe have narrated it, but in that level, only one person narrated it, so it all centers, it goes back to him. No matter if everybody else is thiqat, if that one person who tafarrada bihi is not acceptable, then we can't accept the hadith. وَقَدْ رَوَى أَنْهُ غَيْرُ وَاحِدْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Tirmidhi tries to give him a little bit of strength by saying, yani more than one of the scholars have narrated from him. So this person right here was known, people did narrate it from him, but we don't know his full condition. Obviously, yani some people accepted his hadith and some people didn't. كَذَا رُوِيَ عَنْ أَنَسْ ابْنِ مَالِكِ. And likewise, the narrative from Anas ibn Malik that the Prophet ﷺ, yani prayed in the water and in the mud on a riding animal, and he said, وَالْعَمَلُ عَلَى هَذَا عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. And this is what the practice of the people of knowledge is upon, praying on the riding animal for need or necessity. وَبِهِ يَقُولُ أَحْمَدُ وَإِسْحَقُ. And this opinion is the opinion of Imam Ahmed, and it's also the opinion of Imam Ishaq ibn Rahuway, rahimahullah. وَقَالَ فِي شَرْحِ الْأَحْكَامِ. And now we get more support for this hadith. In شَرْحِ الْأَحْكَامِ لِإِبْنِ تَيْمِيَةِ, he said, وَالْحَدِيثِ صححه عبد الحق وحسنه النووي وضعفه البيهقي. Ibn Taymiyyah is saying what? That there's two views concerning this hadith. Abd al-Haq said that it's sahih, and Nawawi said that it's hasan, not sahih but hasan, and al-Bayhaqi said that it's da'if. So there's difference of opinion concerning this hadith. Ibn Taymiyyah said, وَهُوَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى مَا ذَهَبَ إِلَيْهِ الْبَعْدُ مِنْ صِحَّةِ الصَّلَاةِ الْفَرِيدَةِ عَلَى الرَّاحِلَةِ كَمَا تَصِحُّ فِي السَّفِينَةِ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ. Ibn Taymiyyah said, and this hadith, yani depending on which view you take of it, what it points to is what is the view of some of the scholars who hold that it is valid to perform the obligatory prayer on a rahila, just as it is valid to perform the obligatory prayer in a safina by ijma. Yani the ijma is what? That it's permissible to pray the obligatory prayer in a safina, not ijma on the riding animal. But he said that it's valid on the riding animal, just like it's valid on the safina, and the safina is its validity is by ijma. وَقَدْ صَحَّحَ الشَّافِعِي. الشَّافِعِي رحمه الله considered it to be valid, يعني the salat al-mafruda, obligatory prayers on the rahila, but with conditions, which will be mentioned later, and those conditions are rejected by Ibn Taymiyyah. But in any case, yani, also he's saying, Ash-Shafi also holds the opinion of permissibly praying on a rahila, but he's saying with conditions. وَحَكَى النَّوِي فِي شَرْحِ مُسْلِمِ. And النَّوِي narrates to us or conveys to us in the explanation of Muslim. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, in Fat, yani Fat al-Bari, Al-Ijma ala Adam Jawaz Tark Istiqbal fil Farida. Yani النَّوِي in the explanation of Muslim, and Hafidh in the explanation of Bukhari, both conveyed consensus upon the absence of permissibility of abandoning facing the Qibla in the obligatory prayers. Yani that is not permissible to give up facing the Qibla in the obligatory prayers. Al-Hafidh says, but Hafidh ibn Hajj says, لكن رخص في شدة الخوف. Yani he said, but maybe there's some permission in severe fear, yani like on the battlefield. And now we also said, Al-Ijma' ala Adam, Salat al-Farida ala Daba, that there's Ijma' consensus, that it's not permissible to pray the obligatory prayer on a riding animal. قَالَ فَلَوْ أَمْكَنَهُ إِسْتِقْبَالَ الْقِبْلَةِ. But if he's able to face the Qibla, and if he's able to stand, and if he's able to make ruku and sujood on the riding animal, standing upon it, in his hawdaj, yani the thing that they put on top of the animal, or what is similar to it, جَازَتْ الْفَرِيدَ عَلَى السَّحِيمِ مِنْ مَذْهَبِ الشَّافِي. These are the conditions that Imam Nawawi mentions, from the madhab of Ash-Shafi, from the madhab of Ash-Shafi, that it's not permissible to pray the obligatory prayer on a riding animal, unless if the person is able to face the Qibla and stand and bow and prostrate, standing up on the riding animal, then it's permissible to pray the obligatory prayer on the riding animal, according to the madhab of Ash-Shafi. فَإِنْ كَانَ سَائِرًا لَمْ يَسِحْ عَلَى الصَّحِيحِ الْمَنْصُوصِ لِلشَّافِي. And now he says, رحمه الله, and if they are moving, then it's not valid according to the correct view of what has been narrated accurately, specifically from Imam Ash-Shafi. Definitely they can't do it moving. وَقِيلَ تَصِحُ. And another opinion that has been narrated, but what's correct is that it's not permissible, and it also has been said تَصِحُ, that it is permissible, just like it is permissible in the ship. فَإِنَّهُ تَصِحُ فِيهَا الْفَرِيدَ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ. Since it is valid to perform the obligatory prayer on the ship, according to consensus. And then he also mentions, yani, some more discussion like that. I just want to mention the names of the other people. Ibn Taymiyyah also mentions this hadith points to the permissibility of praying the obligatory prayer on the rahila. وَلَا دَلِيلْ عَلَى اِتِّبَارْ تِلْكَ الشُّرُوتِ. Here's where Ibn Taymiyyah disagrees with those conditions. He said that, yani, this hadith points to the permissibility of praying the obligatory prayer on the riding animal, and there's no dalil to give any consideration to those conditions that were mentioned. Illa umumat. Yani, these are just general things that we accept as being general. But يَصْلِحُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لِتَخْصِيصِهَا. But this hadith, yani limits the general meaning of those other evidences, because this is special, that there is a permission for praying on the riding animal in certain condition. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ الْعُذْرَ مَطَرَ. Yani, and this hadith doesn't mention anything except the excuse of the rain and the mud on the ground. فَالطَّائِرَ يعني pray الظاهرة. I'm sorry, I'm tired now. This is the end. الظاهرة صحة فريضة على الراحلة في السفرة. So what appears to be correct, يعني, is the validity of praying the obligatory prayer on the راحلة for the traveling person. لمن حصل له مثل هذا العذر. Whoever is in a similar condition, they have a similar excuse to what's mentioned in this hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإن لم يكن في حوجج. Even if he's not in one of these things that they put on top of the animal. إِلَّا أَنْ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ إِجْمَاءً وَلَا إِجْمَاءً. Unless there's an ijma that prevents us from accepting this hadith, and there is none. فَقَدْ رَوَى الْتِرْمِذِي عَنْ أَحْمِدْ. يعني, since it has been narrated from Tirmidhi, from Ahmed, and from Ishaq, two imams and the people of Sunnah, that both of them are holding the view of the permissibility of performing the obligatory prayer on the rahila. إذا لم يجد موضعاً يؤدي فيه الفريضة نازلاً. If the person didn't find a place where they can perform the obligatory prayer if they got down from their animal. ورواه العراقي في الشرع الترمذي. And العراقي رحمه الله also mentions it in his explanation of Tirmidhi from الشافعي. Meaning that it's not permissible to pray the obligatory prayer on the راحلة. In any case, as we can see from this lengthy discussion, that there's a difference of opinion concerning this, about its permissibility, but At-Tirmidhi says that the practice of the majority of the scholars is the permissibility of praying the obligatory prayer on the riding animal with excuse. Otherwise, the original rule is not permissible to pray on a riding animal, unless a person has some legitimate excuse like this. Some of the scholars made conditions, some of them didn't accept it at all. Those who accept it is Imam Ahmed and Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, and Kani, probably others also, but Tirmidhi mentions the two of them.
Sheikh, if you about the condition, if you pray in the donkey standing, you're gonna definitely drown.
If you pray on the donkey standing, Ibn Taymiyyah said these conditions have no legitimacy. They have no legitimacy. It might be possible. Okay, let me just close out. Stop here so that I can just, you know, gather myself together before they call that then. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.